18, let's stand together. I'm going to read right down to the end of the chapter. All right? Matthew 1:18. Chapter 1, starting in verse 18, reading down to the end of the chapter. I will read, you just follow along and act like you're paying attention. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together here today. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. What a blessing, Lord, to be around these the Christians. And Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And bless us, Lord, as we look at the Word of God and as we have this message. I pray, Lord, that you would shine forth. Lord, I pray that you would have us to see some things from the Word of God today. Lord, help us just to worship you. That is our goal. That is our main goal of being here, is to spend time worshiping and praising you. And so, Lord, we pray that you do that. Help us to learn from this message. Help us, Lord, to be convicted if need be. If there's anybody here that's not saved, or if there's somebody listening out there beyond these walls that's not truly saved, we pray, Lord, today would be their day of salvation. Bring conviction upon that lost soul. Lord, also bring conviction upon the saved soul today. Lord, there may be some listening that are backslidden or something, Lord. We don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but Lord, we pray that you would just be with each and every one of us here that's listening. Lord, we do pray today for Jeannie Johnson and her family. We pray, Lord, for your perfect will to be done with her. Lord, we pray that your will would just, Lord, just give her comfort, give her help, Lord, during this time. And Lord, also be with her family. Lord, we pray, continue to pray for Barb Bonella. Lord, in her cancer, Eliza Blocker, in her cancer. Lord, we pray for my wife's hip recovery. Lord, that you would be with that. Help her, Lord, today. Lord, we're thankful for what you have done and how you've blessed and just been with us, Lord, this whole time. We pray that you'd continue to do that. Lord, be with others that may just not able to be here today for sickness. Lord, also be with those that could have been here but just decided not to be here. We pray that you bring conviction upon their hearts to be in the house of God. You have commanded us in your word to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And so, Lord, we pray and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have. Bless now the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The birth of Christ is mentioned here and, of course, in Luke chapter 2. And I know that we primarily use this passage of Scripture around Christmas time. You know, the preachers, we get our Bibles out and we bring a message on this passage of Scripture. But just something that I wanted to bring to you today. I wanted to talk about specifically the verse 21 where it says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. I want to talk to you today about what are we saved from and what are we saved for. We're saved from something, or many things really, and we're saved for some things. That's what we're going to talk about today. We know that the angel of the Lord, according to Luke chapter 1, is none other than Gabriel himself. Gabriel came to talk. He was the mouthpiece of God and was sent down here not only to discuss this whole thing with Joseph, but also to meet with Mary prior to this and to meet with Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, about John the Baptist. And so Gabriel was here doing this. And also the angel of the Lord tells him in verse 21, as we see, and she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It was something that the men would do, and it would be something that the family would do, is when that child was circumcised, they would name that child at that particular point. And so according to Luke chapter 2, if you go over, we don't have time to go over there today, but if you go over to Luke 2, you'll see that when the eighth day was accomplished and Jesus was being circumcised, Joseph called his name Jesus. He did exactly what he was told to do by the angel of the Lord. And of course, we know and we believe of in a virgin birth. We believe that Jesus Christ was born this way. Christ did not come into this world with tainted blood as all of us have. We have tainted blood from Adam. Adam is he's our father, you might say. When it comes to the human aspect of us, we've all inherited something. We all have inherited something not that good. We've all inherited something very, very bad, and that's called sin. Every human being has inherited the sin nature from Adam when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's been passed down through the bloodline ever since. And that bloodline always comes from the Father. But, of course, in this particular case, Jesus did not come from an earthly father. Joseph was not considered his father. He was simply, Jesus was his adopted son, but that's all he was. He did not come from that line of the human aspect. Christ came through God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. The seed of God was placed into Mary at the moment that the Holy Spirit did that, and she brought forth the Son, and his name was Jesus. His name will always be Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, and he's our Savior. If you're saved today, if you're not saved today, you are in the right place at the right time. Because you can be saved. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is the redemption of man from the bondage or the slavery of sin. That's what salvation is. It's very simple. You are saved from destruction. You are saved from danger. When we talk about somebody being saved, you might think about somebody floating down the Niagara River, getting closer and closer to the falls, and somebody throws one of those, they're called buoys, out there to them, or some life jacket or some kind of floating device, and pulls that person in. They would say that you'd save that person. You save that person from destruction, from death. Well, salvation, that's what that is. We are saved from eternal death. We are saved from the second death that the book of Revelation talks about. We are saved from that separation throughout all eternity from God in a place called hell. We're saved from that. What a blessing that is. You ought to be thankful today that if you are saved, you ought to be thankful that you are saved. We'll never have to experience eternal death or eternal separation from God. Ever, ever, ever. Thank God for that. So many Christians today think that, well, they get saved and they've got their ticket to heaven and they're going to escape hell and that's all they care about. That's only a little part of salvation. That is a byproduct of salvation. Salvation starts at the moment of salvation when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that's all God intended for you, he would have killed you the moment you got saved, or a couple seconds after, I guess. He would have taken you right to heaven. But he left us here with a plan and a purpose in mind. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose and a plan for all of us. He wants us to serve him. That's what it is. It's not just, I'm escaping hell. That's a blessing. Thank God for that. But that's not your Christian life. That is not all of salvation. Amen. Salvation is just the beginning. It's the birth of a new life. We're born again by the Spirit of God. That means now we have a whole life, a Christian life, to live from the moment of salvation on. And you continue to grow and learn, as we've been talking about that in Sunday school, from the moment of salvation until you die or leave this planet, one way or the other, that you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You are never to stop growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. A man by the name of John Dyer said these words, and I quote, "A person may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without friends, but he cannot go without Christ." You cannot go without Jesus Christ. You will not get to heaven without Jesus Christ. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, said these words, and I quote, "I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." I like that. I'm a great sinner, but Christ is a great, great Savior. Dwight Moody said this, I like this, and I quote him, salvation is worth, now listen, pay close attention to this, salvation is worth working for. It's worth a man's going around the world on his hands and knees, climbing its mountains, crossing its valleys, swimming its rivers, going through all manner of hardship in order to attain it, but we don't have to get it that way. It is to him who believes. But you know what? Salvation, there's truth in that. Salvation is worth doing all of those things, but thank God we don't have to do any of that. You don't have to crawl around the world on your hands and knees. You don't have to climb a mountain on your hands. You don't have to do something to get saved. You get saved just by trusting and believing in Jesus Christ. Trusting his blood for you, trusting his death, his burial, his resurrection. The gospel is that. Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the gospel message. And by believing in that, you are trusting Christ as your Savior. Jesus took our place that we might have his peace. He took our sin that we might have his salvation, somebody said. There is none so good that can save themselves, and none so bad that God can't save. There's none so bad that God can't save. He can save anybody, anytime, anywhere, no matter what their sin is or sins are. A sinner has two options, to be pardoned or to be punished. That's the two options, to be pardoned or punished. Pardon from sin or punished for sin. That's the option that every human being has. Pardoned, exclaimed to be not guilty through the blood of Christ, or punished for all eternity. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't get saved by the Baptist. The Baptist church can't save you. The Baptist pastor, preacher can't save you. No church can save anybody. No preacher, pope, priest, nobody, no person can save another person when it comes to these spiritual truths. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The purpose of the Lord coming here was to die for you and to die for me. Why? Because he loves us so much. Try to figure that one out. Because of his total 100% love for the human race, Christ died for the entire human race, every single human being. Hitler could have been saved. Any human being that has ever lived has had the opportunity somewhere in their life to be saved. But they make the choice. You make the choice. If you walk out of here today still lost as you came in, that's your choice that you make. You make the choice to walk out, walk away, say no to God again. That's your choice. Every human being has to make that choice in their life. Every human being. 1 Timothy 1:15 said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. That's why Christ came into the world, to save sinners. You say, I don't think I'm a sinner. You are. You are. Let me pop your bubble. Let me bust your bubble. You are a sinner. Remember what John Newton said? He says he realized what a great sinner he was, but what a great Savior Jesus was and is. And so you are a sinner. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish. That means separated from God in hell for all eternity. God never, never, never made hell for the human person. He created hell. He created that for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. Man goes there because he chooses. When I say man, I mean the entire human race. You know what I mean. So I want to just discuss those two things quickly. What are we saved from? I have four things. You might want to write these down. Four things that we're saved from, and then three things that we're saved for. Four things that we are saved from, and we'll get into these things and talk a little bit about them. First of all, what are we saved from? We are saved, number one, from sin. From sin. So if you're going to write this down, write this down. What are we saved from? We're saved from sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. And we are saved, we will be saved from the presence of sin in the future. So we're saved from the penalty of sin, that's the past. We're saved from the power of sin, which is the present. And listen, Christian, we have been set free from sin through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. You cannot live a sinless life without the power of God in your life. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. But we can go through life and not sin based upon what the Bible says. We're going to go over there here in a minute. We're going to go over to Romans real quick. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. We have been freed from sin. As a saved person, we have been freed from that. So many times, so many Christians don't believe that we've been set free from sin. They feel that they still have to sin throughout their life. We don't have to sin throughout our life. We've been set freed from that. And so we're saved from sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. When I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, the penalty of my sin was erased. The Lord stamped my soul with a not guilty stamp in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been pardoned, given a pardon by God Almighty. So I'll never have to face hell. I'll never have to face the eternal fires of hell. I'll never have to face damnation. I'll never have to face that because I am not guilty. If you've ever had to go to court of law and you did something wrong and a judge took mercy on you and said, not guilty, you'd walk away pretty glad and happy. Amen? That's the way. But if maybe you've been to the court of law and you didn't get that verdict, you got guilty. But with God, when you trust Jesus Christ, you are given a not guilty verdict by God Almighty. And what better judge in the universe than God that can give us that verdict? And so we've been freed from the penalty of sin. That's the past. But also, we have been set free from the presence of sin, or we will be from the presence, but from the power of sin. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6 clarifies this very, very good. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does God say in verse 2? God forbid. Is he telling us here that we can go ahead and sin as a Christian and just go on in life and just keep on sinning because it's okay? No. Doesn't say. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now he explains about this being dead in sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see from the scriptures what the Bible is telling us? We have been, listen, if you've been saved, I've been saved, you've been saved, we literally are partakers of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That killed him. His body died, placed into the tomb. 3 days and three nights later, he came back from the dead. So we as Christians are also with him in this death process. As a saved person, that's my past. I no longer have to be part of sin. When I sin, I choose that myself. The devil doesn't make me do it. My wife doesn't make me do it. My kids don't make me do it. Nobody makes me do it. When I sin, I make that choice myself. When you sin, you make that choice yourself. Stop saying the devil made me do it, or she made me, he made me. You know, we have all this excuse that we can try to pinpoint the blame on everybody else around us, but not on us. And yet we need to blame ourselves. Amen. Like John Newton. Hey, I'm a great sinner, but I got a great Savior. So we're saved from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. We see that here in this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now, I am not physically dead. I am still alive here, right? You think I am alive? Amen. I look out there. Most of you are alive. Most of you look like maybe you're alive. I see some, you know, eyes that are open, and I think you're alive. We haven't died physically, but we are dead to the power of sin. That's what we are dead now. The Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Think about this. When something dies, they no longer do anything in this world again. Right? When a human being dies, we bury them. They're no longer involved doing anything in this world. Obviously, their soul and their spirit, they're in heaven, but their body is dead. You're not going to bring them back. Only Christ can do that at the rapture, is going to bring that body out of the grave, out of the tomb, and give the new body to that individual. But we are saved from that penalty of sin. That's the past. We are saved from the power of sin, which is present right now. We're freed. We're freed. Verse 8, Romans 6, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, right? For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So if we're with Christ, we are dead to sin. Christian, we don't have to sin anymore. So get that out of your brain. Well, No, get that out of... Read, study this passage of Scripture and realize that we have been freed from that. We're saved from the power of sin right now. That is the present tense. And according to the book of Revelation, we are going to be freed from the presence of sin someday. We're not freed from that yet. There's a lot of sin still around us. But thank God, one of these days when we enter into heaven, we will be free from... There will be no sin in heaven. I like what some preacher said. We can say what we want, think what we want, and do whatever it is that we want, and we will never, ever, ever sin. Well, that's good. I like that. That is so good. We're saved from sin. Secondly, we're saved from self. From self. You said, I've been saved from me? I've been saved from me. Yeah. You've been saved from you. Salvation brings that. It brings us that saved from sin, but we're also saved from self. And what I'm talking about is our flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We have been saved from our own flesh. Do you know that you and I, we are our own enemy? The Bible talks about how we have enemies. There's really four enemies. We talk a lot about the three, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but death is said to be an enemy also that will someday be defeated. So we're dealing with this flesh every day of our life. And the flesh that we're dealing with is following us around everywhere we go. But we have been saved from ourself. Again, Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by, of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the works of the flesh. I think there's 17 there completely. There are sexual sins, spiritual sins, and social sins mentioned in those verses. Those three things are mentioned right there. You got the sexual, you got the spiritual, and of course then you have the social, the anger and the drunkenness and all of those other things. Those are the sins of the flesh. But then we read in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's nothing telling us that we have to love. There's nothing telling us. There's no law stating it. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not generated by law. The fruit of the Spirit is generated by the Spirit of God. Did you know you can't love properly without the Spirit of God? You cannot have real joy except through the Spirit of God. You can't have real peace without the Spirit of God. You can't be truly long-suffering or patient. You can't have real gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Those things do not come by just writing it down that this is what we must do. It only comes through the working of the Spirit of God, which when at the moment of salvation, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And now the Spirit of God allows us to love. What's the first commandment that Jesus said that we need to do? Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, strength. And then we love others as ourselves, our neighbor as ourselves. You can't do that without the Spirit of God. Humans don't love God unless the Spirit of God is indwelling them. They don't know who God is. How can you love something or somebody that you don't even know who they are? So the Spirit of God comes and indwells us the moment that we're saved, and then He allows us now the fruit. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Terry Fenton. It's not the fruit of you. I can't generate those nine things. I don't have those things naturally just flowing out of me. But by the Holy Spirit's power, I can have those things flowing out of me. And that's what you can too. And so we're saved from self. We're saved from the flesh. Let me just finish this chapter and then I'll move on. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, we're not walking according to the flesh. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we're saved from sin, number one. Number two, we're saved from self. Number three, did you know that we're saved from Satan? We're saved from Satan. He no longer has power over us. He no longer has power over you. He no longer does have power over me. Again, so many times people say, well, the devil makes me do this. Satan makes me do this. No, he doesn't make you do that. He might have a hand in trying to tempt you to do something, but you ultimately say yay or nay. We always say yes or no. We say yeah, we give into it, or we say no and we fight against it. But we have been saved from Satan. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, look at verse 8. 1 John 3, 8. He that committeth sin is what? Of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I know that Satan has a lot of influence in the world right now, doesn't he? I mean, it's all around us. Satan has influence in our family. Satan has influence in all kinds of things around us. We see it so often. But he doesn't have to have power over you and I as a Christian. We don't have, we've been saved from that according to the Bible. Go take a look at 4:4. First, you're right there, 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Than he that is in the world. We have been given the ability to go against Satan. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I know that many people are saying, yeah, but the devil seems to have so much influence in my life or in my family or a child or a parent or my boss or somebody. You know, we think that often. And I'm not saying that that's not the case, but we make that choice. And here's the thing. So many Christians do not put the whole armor of God on every day of their life. They get up in the morning and they think they can go out and fight the devil and fight the world and fight the flesh without any armor on whatsoever. Why did God give us the armor of God if we don't ever use it? Whose fault is that? Your fault, my fault. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't give us an option. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Not that, you know what, you really ought to put on the whole armor of God once in a while. You know, if you don't, why don't you just try this? No, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So right here in this one verse, the Lord gives us the ability, in these two verses, 10 and 11, tells us exactly how we can stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. Right? How do we do that? By putting on the whole armor of God. And then the Bible gives us and tells us what the armor of God is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All of these things are spiritual things. So the armor of God is what? Spiritual. It's something you don't physically, you don't go to your closet tomorrow morning and pull out all of these things and put them on. We use those at times, you know, for Sunday school, junior church, or VBS. We use those as an example to show. But this is a spiritual armor that we are to put on every day. And we put the armor on with the help of God. And then he gives us, tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we living in an evil day? Amen. And having done all to stand. You're not going to stand in this evil day. You're going to give up, give out, and give in if you don't wear the armor of God every day of your life. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Here's the armor right here. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always without prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto without perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, we have an enemy. And that enemy is the devil. Whether you like it or not, your enemy, my enemy, is not somebody in church. It's not the person that never shakes my hand. It's not the person that says bad things about you. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is a spiritual enemy today. Your enemy is the devil. But God has given us the ability to fight this off and to keep him at his distance by putting on the whole armor of God. We're saved from sin, we're saved from self, but we're also saved from Satan. He does not have to get the victory in your life by putting on that whole armor of God. We can fight against the wiles of the devil. Fourthly, we're saved from this one. I got to keep all of my S's in line here. So we're saved from society. What do I mean by that? The world. Remember, the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies. And so we're saved from the world. We're saved from society. 1 John chapter 2, you know the verses. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15-17. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That does not mean that God doesn't love you. What you've done is you've replaced God's love with your love for the things of the world. That's what that means. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have been given the ability to say no to the world. Problem is we don't like to say no to the world. We enjoy the world too much. We enjoy the things of the world too much. Colossians chapter 3 makes it very clear as to where our minds should be. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That word, little phrase, if ye then be risen with Christ, that simply means if you're saved. If you're saved, we are to be seeking those things that are above, where God is, where Christ is. Verse 2, set your affection on things where? Above. Not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. That means simply means that you're saved and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so when we look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we've got something we have to do. We have to redirect our love. Our love is to be directed to God Almighty and to Jesus Christ. And if we truly love God like we say we do, we're not going to be loving all the things of the world. All the things that are out there. There's a lot of stuff out there. You have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff. Sometimes we end up liking this stuff a little too much. And we have been saved from the world. We don't have time to go through the whole passage, but boy, I'll tell you, John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. It's His prayer for His disciples and for all of us. This prayer is 623 words in length. It takes probably 3 to 4 minutes to pray this prayer. But this is the prayer that Jesus gave for His disciples, for His apostles, but then also for all of His disciples. If you're saved here today, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. He gave this prayer for us. John 17 is really a charge from the Lord for you and I. And He has prayed for us. Isn't it good to know that somebody prays for you? And that's a blessing to know. Hey, did you ever have somebody come up to you and say, hey, I'm praying for you, or I have prayed for you, or I'm going to pray for you? That is a blessing to know that somebody is praying for you. But here, and that's certainly a tremendous blessing, but here we have Jesus praying for us all the time. What better person praying for us than God Himself. Starting around verse 14 of John 17, He says, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus is praying to His Heavenly Father for all of us. We live in an evil world, but He's praying that we stay away from the evil, that we are separated from that evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. What's Jesus saying? Use this book to help you in this world. As we go through this world, as we do things in this world, this Bible will literally sanctify you through the truth of the Word of God. It'll help us get through this world. It'll help us where we don't give into the world. It'll help us to know that we can have some victory in our life. And so we are saved from society. We're saved from the world. Let me give you three quick things here that we're saved for. What are we saved for? We're saved from sin and self and Satan and society. But what are we saved for? Well, number one, we're saved for the Savior. Right? Who saved you? Pastor Fenton didn't save you. Jesus Christ saved you. Amen. So you're saved from a whole bunch of things, but you're saved for some things also. Again, as I said, your Christian life didn't end when you got saved. Your Christian life just got started. And so now we are to be saved for the Savior. There are three ways in the Bible. I don't have time to get into all of them, but there are three things in the Bible that we are saved for the Savior for. Does that make any sense? Saved for the Savior for? Number one, we're saved for fellowship with Him. Fellowship. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. We'll look at that quick. We're studying that. We have been studying that in our Sunday school time. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul the apostle wrote this. He wrote this from a prison cell in Rome, and he was writing and he was talking about how he desired fellowship with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question I have for you is, how much do you desire fellowship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire to fellowship with the Lord? See, we've been saved for the Savior, but we've been saved to have fellowship with him. The second reason that we are saved to the Savior is to have a relationship with him. Now, your salvation gives you the relationship, Father, Son, Father, Child relationship. And so there's a relationship there that we have. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's given us a relationship with God, right? I mean, that's what he has done. He's given us a relationship. When we got saved, I have a relationship with God. We see that in John chapter 10, the shepherd and the sheep relationship that we see. That is a relationship that Christ was given us there in John chapter 10. Shepherd, he's the shepherd. We are the sheep. He watches over us. He gives us the ability to do that. He gives us the ability to be helped and to watched over by him all the time. That is a relationship that we have, is with that shepherd and sheep relationship. And then in John chapter 15, we see another relationship. We'll turn over there real quick. It's a friendship. And so we've been saved for the Savior, for fellowship, a relationship, and friendship. I don't know, you really need to let this kind of sink into your soul, but you and I are friends with God Almighty. Friends. We have a friendship. Do you have a friendship? Is there anybody out there that you're friends with? hopefully so, right? Amen? You got a friendship somewhere? There's somebody. Yeah, let me think here. Give me a couple days to think about. No, I mean, if you're involved in a church like this, you have friends right here. You have friends sitting next to you, close to you. You're social distant, I know. But we are friends here, right? Aren't we friends here? Yes, we're friends. We have a friendship here. And Christ provides that friendship for us. Now, he becomes our friend. I don't know about you, but friendships amongst people are extremely important. It's a sad day when somebody can say, I have no friends whatsoever. I hope and pray there's nobody in this room, or I hope and pray nobody's listening that thinks that they don't have a friend. Maybe it's hard to find a good human friend, but I'll tell you, you've got a great spiritual friend if you're saved in Jesus Christ. He says there in John 15, verse 14, he says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friendship. So we've been saved to the Savior for fellowship, a relationship, and friendship. What a blessing that is. When we realize we've been saved from some things, yes, that protects us and helps us, but we've been saved for the Savior, Jesus Christ, for that fellowship and that relationship and that friendship. Second thing that we're saved for is service. Work. Some of you don't like that word. We should all love that word. Work. Labor. We're laborers together with him. We're workers together with Christ. We are working. We have a working relationship with God. And so we have been saved for service. Christ did not save us just to sit and do nothing. He did not save us just to sit and do nothing as a Christian. Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Okay, great. Praise God for that. And you're not going to hell, but are you doing anything for God? Is there anything that you're doing for God? Are you serving him the best way that you can? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Verses 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians 1, Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your what? Work of faith and, say it, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God in our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. There is work and there is labor when it comes to serving God. And so the Lord saved us for the purpose of, yes, taking us to heaven to be with Him. But now we have a job to do. We have a work to do. We have a service that we are to be doing for the Lord. So we are to work for the Lord. So the question is how are you working for the Lord? What are you doing for God? Is there anything that you are doing for Him? Not just to work for Him, but how about to walk with Him? To walk with the Lord. What an honor to walk with the Lord. Do you ever go somewhere and just, you know, earlier I saw Doug and Don over here. They were singing and they were holding hands. I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. God has helped in that situation right there. Because earlier in Sunday school, there was a little tiff over here. And when I saw them holding hands, I said, thank you, Lord, you straightened out their marriage. You know, just joking. But have you ever walked holding somebody's hand? Let's say, you know, husband, wife, you walk holding a hand. Sometimes a parent will walk with the hand with a little child, you know. We do that often. You know, little kids will grab their grandfather's hand and then, you know, we're walking along wherever. That's a blessing. It's an honor to hold somebody's hand and walk them along. Usually with Kathy, I used to hold her hand and pull her along. But now we're with her new hip, she'll probably be pulling me along. I don't know. But we do that. We walk hand in hand. And now we have this amazing opportunity to walk with the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk. We're to be walking. Walking is the best thing for you. Did you know that? When it comes to health thing. Did you read the back of your bulletin yet? I like that. I read that this morning. That was very good. I enjoyed that. Of course, I enjoy walking. I like to walk. I don't walk as much as I should. I need to walk more. But walking is the best thing for anybody. When Kathy came out of surgery and they were literally getting her up the first day after her, that same day after she had her hip replaced, they were getting her up, making her move and walking. And I asked the physical therapist, I said simply this, how much therapy is she going to need? Where are we going to have to take her? And she says, she doesn't need any therapy. I said, really? She said, no, all she has to do is walk. That's her therapy. Walking. Just get her walking. That's the best therapy that she can have for a hip replacement. That's really the best therapy for anybody. And no matter what situation you're in, is to walk. Go for a walk. Amen. But as the back of the bulletin, I like what that person said. It's so good to be able to walk with the Lord when we walk. We can have that fellowship, that relationship, that friendship as we go and as we walk with Him. That's what the Bible says. We are to be walking as children of light. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walking worthy of the Lord. Most of us would say in here in this room right now, most of us that have been saved for a while say, well, you know, we're not worthy of anything. Right. And I say amen to that. But the Bible says here that we are to be walking worthy of the Lord. You can only walk worthy of the Lord as the Lord is worthy to walk with us. Follow me? We can only be worthy walking with the Lord as the Lord walks with us. Most of us, again, we'd say we're not worthy of anything, but the Bible does tell us that we need to walk worthy. And this is a walking service that we're doing. It's working. It's walking. Let me just give you the last point here. We're done. We're saved for the Savior. We're saved for service. But thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, we're saved for soul winning. We're saved as a mouthpiece of God. It's our job as Christians to tell others about Jesus Christ. We just spent a couple hundred bucks buying thousands of gospel tracts. They're there in the hallway as you clean them out. Paul or me, whoever can, keeps putting tracts in there. Take gospel tracts and then pass them out. That is part of something that we are obligated to do as a Christian. Have tracts on you. Give them out. We're always looking for opportunities to give a tract out. You can't give a tract out unless you got some with you. So take some tracts, have them in your vehicle, have them on your person. Ladies, stash them in that huge purse that you have. You could put thousands and tens of thousands in your purses. I know you could. And you'd have no problem pulling out a gospel tract. Guys, you know, I try to make sure I have them in my shirt pocket. And I even stick some in the back of my New Testament to make sure I got this new coronavirus tract. I like that. I got a couple of these back here. So if I run across somebody, if I'm wearing a polo or whatever, I don't have a pocket here, I can pull out a gospel tract and give that to the person. I've actually ran to my car or truck and grabbed the tract and given it to somebody. Always look for opportunities to give out a gospel tract. Because we're saved not just for the Savior. We're saved for service and we're saved for soul winning. The Great Commission was given to every Christian. Not just the apostles. Not just the 12 or the 11. This Great Commission was given to all of us. Every one of us. So folks, we are saved from some things, but thank God we're saved for some things. I hope this was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. I hope it spoke to your heart as it spoke to my heart. And let's bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you again that we could gather together this morning. Thank you, Lord, again for the Word of God, the different verses, passages that we looked at today. I pray that, again, if there's somebody in this room that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be that day, that wonderful day of salvation. Lord, speak to our hearts as